strength. Exodus 5:2. Yahweh is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my Elohim, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's Elohim, and I will exalt him. 2 Samuel 22:31-33. As for Elohim, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is Elohim save Yahweh? And who is a rock save our Elohim? Elohim is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Shalom, and thank you for joining us today on His Word Heals. Today's program is the audio from our newest video, which is available at our website at www.hiswordheals.com under the Videos tab, or you can go to Messianic Lamb Radio's YouTube channel under the His Word Heals playlist. Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com, where you can find links for all of our videos, podcasts, 2 free downloads of books, and a free CD MP3 download, as well as more information about our ministry. You can also find us on messianiclambradio.com and the Lamb Network YouTube channel under the His Word Heals playlist, and on Hebrew Nation Radio, Mondays at 1:30 Pacific Time, and on their podcast page. Does anyone know what this rock is? Pause this video or podcast and type your guess into the comments below, or just think to yourself what it might be. Our son found it years ago, and though we knew the hole had to be drilled by a person, we weren't sure what it was used for. We had guesses, such as a canoe anchor or drogstone. Then my husband showed it to someone who did actually know exactly what it was. He showed my husband via the wear marks on the stone that it was an arrow straightener or arrow wrench. You push the arrow through the hole in the sandstone, which is naturally abrasive, to smooth any protrusions, crooks, or knots off of the arrow shaft, such as where branch buds might have been protruding, etc. And perhaps while the shaft is wet and a bit pliable, you also use the hole to unbend or straighten the shaft. Then you do the same kind of finish work with these grooves here on the face of the stone. The straighter an arrow shaft is, the more likely it will hit its intended mark or target. Why am I telling you all of this, and what does it have to do with Yahweh's word, His Torah made flesh? I'm glad you asked. About a month had passed since my husband found out what this stone actually was, when, on September 12, 2019, as recorded in my journal that I write things in like this, I woke up knowing that our son's arrow straightening rock was perhaps what Yeshua was talking about in Matthew 19:24, when he said it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. And it was also a picture of the rock that breaks in pieces in Daniel 2:34-35, connecting these two seemingly much different passages to each other, with both being tied to a picture using our son's rock. You might be saying, what? Are you kidding? Before you push stop on this video, please let me explain. For obvious reasons, before I could share this with anyone except my husband, I needed to research these scriptures to see if it was possible to prove this parable picture from scripture through the Greek and Hebrew behind the scriptures. Here's what I found, and it really took some digging to find a connection, but it's there nonetheless. I would have never even known to look for a connection without waking up somehow knowing there was one. Abba is awesome. So, let's look at some Hebrew and Greek words that tie this all together. Law, or instruction in Hebrew, of course, is Torah, or Strong's number H8451, Tav, Vav, Resh, He, which comes from the root H3384, Yah, Ra, or just Vav, Resh, He, and means transitively to lay or throw, especially an arrow, to shoot, figuratively to point out, as if by aiming the finger, to teach, Well, there's a good start. Torah is directing us to the mark that we should aim for, like aiming an arrow. If Torah is the mark, what is sin? Isn't it missing the mark? The Hebrew word for sin is chata, or Strong's number H2398, ket, tet, aleph, which means, drumroll, properly to miss. To miss the mark or target of Torah is chata, or to sin. So if the law or Torah is the target and sin is missing the target, what, or should I say who, are the arrows that need to have their shafts straightened in order to hit the mark of Torah? We are, of course, His people, His children. Psalms 127, 3 and 4. Lo, children are an heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And how does Abba straighten the arrow shafts of His children? On the rock cut without hands that also breaks in pieces. Yeshua is our arrow wrench. We know all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, Yeshua, our salvation, is likened to a rock. Just one example is 1 Peter 2:7 and 8. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. With all of this in mind, let's take another look at Matthew 19:24. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Does that really make sense? I know theologians have been trying to make sense of this verse ever since Yeshua spoke it. One explanation, of course, is that it was just a figure of speech, and of course, a camel can't go through the eye of a needle. But Yeshua spoke in parables, not necessarily figures of speech. Others theorize that the needle Yeshua was speaking of was the needle gate, supposedly a low and narrow after-hours entrance found in the wall surrounding Jerusalem. It was purposely small for security reasons, and a camel could only go through it by stripping off any saddles or packs and crawling through on its knees. The website I got this from, gotquestions.com, says the problem with this theory is there is no evidence such a gate ever existed. Beyond that, what sane camel driver would go through such contortions when larger gates were easily accessible? While this is a lovely picture of having to unburden the camel of its things to get through a small gate, I have to agree that perhaps there's another parable that might fit better. Could the Greek word translated as needle possibly be something else, and likewise the word translated as camel? First, we'll take a look at the Greek word translated as needle, and then we will look at Shem Tov's Hebrew Matthew for all three words in Hebrew, and then compare these to the Greek. G4476, translated as needle, is raphis, from G4474, its base, through the idea of puncturing. This root, G4474, is found two other places in the New Testament, Matthew 5:39, and is translated smites, as in whoever smites you on the right cheek, give him the left also, and in Matthew 26:67 as smote. They smote Yeshua on the cheek before He was crucified. So the Greek word translated as needle has to do with puncturing or smiting or hitting. The Greek word translated as camel is a common word for camel in the Greek, but the Hebrew Matthew word for camel is he, gimel, mem, lamed, or ha, gimel. Its common translation is, again, the camel, but is literally translated as the gimel. For those that don't know, the prefix he in front of a word, in front of a Hebrew word, adds the word the to the word, hence ha gimel is the gimel. Gimel is the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet and looks like this in the ancient Hebrew pictograph, signifying a protrusion or something lifted up or enlarged, hence the camel's hump. It could signify any protrusion, enlargement, or notch, knob, such as a protruding branch, knob, or knot on the shaft of a potential arrow, an imperfection that would need to be knocked off or sanded and straightened out of an arrow in order for the arrow to fly straight and hit its intended mark. My son's arrow wrench in mind, are you following my line of thinking here? Next, the Hebrew Matthew word for eye is vayin, spelled vayt, ayin, yod, nun, with a common translation of in eye, but has the literal translation of in ayin, the vayt being a prefix added to the spelled out word ayin, spelled ayin, yod, nun. The word ayin is also a Hebrew letter, just as gimel is. It's the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet and signifies an opening or crevice or hole through which something passes. Hence, ayin could be an eye or an opening, but this word va'ayin could be literally translated in hole, opening, or crevice. Lastly, and most interestingly, the Hebrew Matthew word for needle is ha-makat, spelled hey, mem, chet, tet. The prefix letter he is again the word the, but there is no biblical Hebrew word spelled mem, chet, tet, or makat in the Bible, at least not spelled this way, mem, chet, tet. However, if it were spelled with a tav instead of a tet for the ending T sound, it actually would be a biblical word for smite or strike, which is found only in two places in the Old Testament, Daniel 2, verses 34 and 35. In Daniel's image, where the stone cut without hands strikes the image and breaks it in pieces. This word, machat, for smiting, ties Daniel 2:34 and 35, his vision there, of the stone cut without hands, which smote the image, to Yeshua's parable in Matthew 19:24, like I woke up just knowing that it would. Coincidence? Perhaps, but I doubt it. So this spelling of the word makat is a vowel meaning smite in Daniel 2:34 and 35. But when you put a letter he in front of it, making it ha-makat, as in the Hebrew Matthew, it is changed to a noun meaning the striker or the smiter or one smiting. To sum this all up, my son's arrow wrench or arrow straightening rock is a picture of Yeshua, the smiting stone, cut without hands that smites the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, breaking it in pieces. Yeshua, this smiting stone, is also an arrow wrench by which Yahweh's children, or arrows, are straightened and refined against and through, so that we can fly straight and hit the bullseye mark of the Torah. As Matthew 19:24 indicates, it is easier for a stick or potential arrow which has a large protruding knot to go through or smite through the hole in this smiting stone, or ha-makat, than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. A rich man has lots of possessions and a potentially enlarged ego, all of which can be knots on his arrow's shaft that need to be knocked off or sanded down by the arrow wrench that is Yeshua before the arrow shaft of the rich man can pass straight through the hole in the arrow wrench and potentially hit the mark that is the Torah. One last thought for those of you who like to dig a little deeper and or those of you who might be thinking, but you said the word in the Hebrew Matthew, ha-makat, is spelled with an ending tet, not a tav, like the word makat in Daniel 2:34 and 35. So that can change the entire meaning of the word, even though it sounds the same, right? I would say true, but since there is no ancient biblical Hebrew word makat with an ending tet instead of a tav, the word makat in the Hebrew Matthew could have been misspelled by Shem Tov when copying the original text, Or it could have been misspelled on purpose, which, from what I understand, is done throughout the Old Testament in order to convey a deeper meaning than just the literal message. Consider this. Earlier, I showed you the word for sin or missing the mark, which is kata, and it is spelled chet, tet, aleph. Compare that to the Hebrew Matthew misspelled makat, mem, ket, tet, as opposed to the biblical makat, which is mem, ket, tav. I find it interesting that the Hebrew Matthew misspelling contains chet, tet, just like the first two letters in kata or sin. Since ha makat would be the striker stone through which the arrows are straightened in order not to miss the mark or sin, isn't it interesting that the misspelling of the word makat with the tet instead of the tav in the Hebrew Matthew contains the two main letters in the words for sin? Additionally, the biblical chet tav spelling of the word makat in Daniel 2, 34 and 35 also spells the letter chet, which is also a word itself. The word chet or chet tav is Strong's number H2844 and H2845 and means concretely crushed, also afraid, abstractly terror, in a sense of breaking down by violence, confusion, and fear. So makat or smite spelled this way with the tav instead of the tet would carry this same connotation but with a mem in front. The letter mem as a prefix means from. Since the other two words ha gimel and va ayin or vet ayin were Hebrew letters with prefixes in front of them, then couldn't makat, spelled mem chet tav, also be the letter chet, or chet tav, with the prefix mem, or from, in front of it? That would make it from fear or terror, which would certainly go along with how the image is struck and crushed in pieces by Yeshua, the stone cut without hands. But then, if you misspelled makat, as it is spelled in the Hebrew Matthew chapter 2, verses 34 and 35, with the mem, a chet, tet, and then the chet, tet being the two main letters in sin or missing the mark, then this word could signify from sin or missing the mark, when considering how the rich man's arrow is not easily straightened in order for him to hit the mark of Torah. There are so many interesting ways this word could go, and each adds depth of meaning to the literal translation possibilities. Proverbs 25:2 tells us, "It is the glory of Elohim to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." Remember, please don't take my word for any of this. If you find this interesting, search it out for yourselves. Also, please remember to visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com and check out some of our other videos, such as Revelation Signs Teach Us to Number Our Days, Psalms 90 verse 12, and video 2 of that series, Revelation Signs 80 Years If Due to Strength, The Last 10 Years, as they relate to the signs in the heavens coming up, leading to the 80th year after Israel again became a nation. How about Noahide laws, Ezekiel 11 and 21, as it may relate to the deal of the century and Jordan's King Abdullah? Then we have another video, Women in the Garden. Ladies, you will really want to watch this video. We also have a 4-part series on the book of Esther and a Yom Kippur, His Word Heals, Revelation and Peace Deal video. Then we also have Sukkot and the Great Draconoid Meteor Showers of 1933 and 1946. Plus, tis the season, flu season, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate, truths from the CDC and manufacturers. Check out all of these very interesting videos. Hopefully they will be a blessing to you. And again, don't believe everything that I say, but please use the scriptures and the references that I provide in all of these videos, which there are lots and lots of scriptures. Look them up for yourselves, pray about it, and do your own research to search out these matters. Again, you can find all of those and much more at www.hiswordheals.com. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes. I will go in the strength of Yahweh. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O Elohim, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but Elohim is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalms 84:5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are in the ways of them. Psalms 105:4. Seek Yahweh and his strength, seek his face evermore. Psalms 118:14. Yahweh is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. Psalms 138:3. In the day when I cried, thou answered me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Psalms 140:7. O Elohim, Yahweh, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, Elohim is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Yahweh is my strength and my song. He is also become my salvation. Isaiah 25:4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Isaiah 26:4. Trust ye in Yahweh forever, for the Lord Yahweh is everlasting strength. Isaiah 40:28-31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Elohim, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Joel 3:16. Yahweh also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But Yahweh will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. Psalms 27:14. Wait on Yahweh. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on Yahweh. Psalms 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in Yahweh. Psalms 119:27-28. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Isaiah 35:3. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Psalms 67:1-3. Elohim, be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O Elohim. Let all the people praise thee. Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.